Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm tired, Chris, I don't mind admitting, but I'm ready to go with the podcast.
Tired?
Yeah.
Been drinking again?
No, I have not been drinking again. How dare you? I have been drinking because I'm on a football podcast tour at the moment. Right. I saw a couple of your fans in Sheffield who were very into abroad in Japan, two Japanese students at
our
the Sheffield
fans,
Hallam.
Surely.
Our fans. One lad.
You're a big part of abroad in Japan these days.
One lad didn't even like he didn't even like football, but he sat through the show anyway just to say hello to me. So in turn,
oh my God,
to say hello to you. They were very lovely, but
a fan of the Abroad Japan podcast sat for like 2.5 hours through a football ramble show just to actually talk to you for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, well,
that is dedication.
Hour and a half and a break.
Fantastic. Well, I hope in your upcoming events across the UK and in the US, similar things happen.
Yes.
They did actually send an email in with your face and you just looked really bemused.
I was
just
very
like,
tired.
Yeah. I like it. I like it when fans bump into you and they send me your face, like photos of your confused and bemused smiling face.
It's more sometimes people will just take a picture of me from like far away when I'm like in a bar or something. And I feel like it's like I'm the Rock or something. It's like I'm like a film star that they tried to take pictures of. What an underwhelming bit of JPEG-ery.
Unbelievable. Well, like you, I'm not tired, but I had a bad day because I discovered that I seem to have got a tolerance to coffee and caffeine just by virtue of the fact I drink so much bloody coffee every day that now it just doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So I have nothing to wake up. I have no way of waking up. What do I do? It's a real first world problem, isn't it? Oh, coffee doesn't work anymore because I drink it so much.
You're going to have to get involved in a bit of exercise. I bought one of those little, you know, like the Nintendo Switch, you can get like a ring that you exercise with. It's like a Wii Fit, but for the Switch. I bought one of them and I had a go at it yesterday. I was bloody exhausted, Chris. But, you know, maybe get involved in a bit of that action. Play the Goose Game.
Good man.
The Untitled Goose Game, and then move on to the Switch Fit ring. Because I was exhausted by the end of it.
The Switch Fit ring.
My bum hurts.
Brilliant. I found the only thing that does work, the only form of coffee that does actually give me some sort of effect,
right,
is cold brew coffee.
Okay.
Are you familiar with cold brew coffee?
It's all the rage
here at the moment.
It's very expensive and it comes in bottles sometimes and it's all very interesting.
Comes in bottles. Yeah, it's basically coffee that's... okay, I don't know how to explain it. It's basically coffee that's fused with water very gradually and slowly. Usually you blast coffee beans with hot water, right? And then coffee comes out.
Yeah.
With cold brew coffee, it's... The water is filtered through the coffee beans at, I think, room temperature, and it's just done very gradually. It takes a long time to do it, but the coffee at the end of it is really nice. It doesn't have a bitter aftertaste, and it just has this really nice, clean taste. Only problem is, it's really hard to pronounce in Japanese. and I just cannot do it for the life of me.
Korodo.
Do you know what coffee is in Japanese? Do you know how you say coffee in Japanese?
Kohi.
Yeah, kohi. It's kind of, I find that difficult for some reason. Kohi. Because it's like a, it's spelled like K-O-H-I, but you kind of lengthen the O sound, so kohi. Cold brew coffee. What do you think cold brew coffee is in Japanese?
Cold samui. Samui kohi.
That would be a lot easier to say, yeah. Samui coffee. No, it's literally cold brew coffee, but just said in a Japanese,
in
Japanese guide aigo. And it's really hard to say cold brew coffee. I'm going to try it now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear what it sounds like? I can only do it if I speak slowly. Okay. Korodo buru kohi. Korodo. That's the key problem. Korodo. Korodo buru kohi. I can't say it.
It's like komodo.
It's just... So embarrassing. So the only thing that works for me, the only form of coffee that actually has an impact, and I can't bloody pronounce it when I'm standing in Starbucks or Tully's Coffee, I have to sort of point at the menu and be like, oh, that one. Yeah, that one there. And they're like, this one? Can you say it for me? And I'm like, Korodo buru kohi. Nightmare.
This is our words. This is English. For crying out loud. I shouldn't be able to say it.
Next time, I'm going to use Samui coffee.
Yeah, Samui exactly. Coffee. Yeah, they'll know what you're talking about, surely.
Absolutely. The second problem, and the reason I've had that problem is I've been drinking loads of coffee because I've been editing lots of videos this week. I recently went to Tsukiji Fish Market with Ryotaro. Did I tell you about this?
Oh, no,
went to
you
Tsukiji
didn't know.
Fish Market. And it's, Tsukiji Fish Market, most of you guys listening probably know that Tsukiji Fish Market moved about a year ago. The world's biggest fish market is no more. Turns out, though, it is actually still there, a lot of it. The wholesaling bit, the bit where they do like the auctions for the tuna, the bluefin tuna, they do that now at a really sterile but rather nice and clean-looking place a few miles down the road in Toyosu Fish Market.
Yeah.
But the outer market, the bit of Tsukiji Fish Market that is the best bit, where you can actually eat and try food and drink and things, that's still there, going strong. And I didn't know that. It's bad because I've been telling everyone, oh, don't go to Tsukiji Fish Market for the last year because I thought it was closed. But it's there and it's better than ever before. But, and I really enjoyed it. I went there with Ryotaro for a video and we kind of tried four or five different dishes. We tried some sake, even though it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. it's just a really kind of fun, exciting atmosphere. I think it's one of my favourite places in Tokyo, to be honest, in terms of being able to try different forms of cuisine, and the atmosphere is kind of exciting. Awful lot of foreigners though, which is good, but it meant that I think I was stopped about 25 times in the space of 3 hours, including Ryotaro. And Ryotaro loves it. When you see Ryotaro get recognised by a fan, he just smiles. He kind of embraces this fame.
He's Mr. Rock and Roll, that's why. Yeah. He's Mr. Hollywood. imagine what real estate the people who own the land or the building of Tsukiji.
It's your cold brew coffee, that is.
Tsukiji. Jesus.
Tsukiji.
It's very early for me. Tsukiji. Fish market.
Excuses.
Imagine how much prime real estate that is. I mean, that's going to be apartments soon, isn't it? Imagine how much cash, because it's got a lot of square footage, you know.
It does.
Even if it retains the restaurant bits.
Yeah, at the moment, the old wholesaling market is completely flattened out. All the buildings are gone. It's just a big patch of concrete, and I think they are building probably apartments on it. They did have a problem though when they knocked down Tsukiji Fish Market. You know, it'd been there for decades, I think 50, 60 years or something, and there was thousands of vendors. It was an incredible place. Did you actually ever go into the wholesaling market? Did you go into it?
I didn't go to the wholesaling market. I went to the food bit about
food
5
bit.
O'clock in the morning after a night out.
Well, I remember I used to take friends in there. Yeah. I used to take friends in there as a tour, you know, just sort of show them around because it was complete chaos. You had fish everywhere. You had water dripping and pouring out of every hole in the ceiling and on the floor. It was quite an interesting place. It felt a bit like being underwater, just by virtue of the fact that it was so fishy and cold and damp and wet. But after they removed it, they had a problem that hundreds of thousands of rats poured out of it, basically, because all the rats suddenly had no home. And it became a real issue for the surrounding neighbourhoods in Tokyo. All these rats suddenly started turning up and pissing all over everything and ruining everything. So Yes, it wasn't good for everyone. Well, there you go.
Oh, no. They got to go somewhere.
They got to go somewhere. Mm. My next problem, though, yeah, coffee aside and inability to pronounce cold brew coffee, is I don't know what to have for dinner.
Oh.
What should I have for dinner, Pete? What do I do? It's
fried chicken.
7 o'clock here now.
It's 7 o'clock. Hmm. Fried chicken. Get one of those melon pans. Melon pan. Coolish.
Melon bread. Really?
Pecari sweat. No coffee for you. You're not allowed coffee. I'm cutting you off. You gotta go cold turkey. Yeah, get yourself some yakitori chicken.
Yakitori chicken.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got like three options basically. I'm near a convenience store that does decent yakitori fried chicken. Yakitori grilled chicken. I'm also near a soba restaurant doing soba noodles with tempura.
Nice.
And I've also got three bananas, and I've got to decide which one to go for dinner. Bananas, yakitori, or soba with tempura. What would you do? Choose your own adventure.
Well, three bananas is definitely better. I've got some leftover sushi from Taro, which is an all right little Japanese restaurant yesterday, but I've still got some sashimi from yesterday, which I'm fairly certain I left out for a little bit too long, so wish me luck, Chris.
That's disgusting. You can't have sushi the night after because the rice just goes all hard and horrible.
Yeah, no, the only sushi I brought is the what's the stuff that has like tofu, like sweet tofu, fried tofu around it. It's like a ball of sushi rice, and then like a sweet kind of tofu kind of wrapping, and then it's fried. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's very delicious. It's my favourite kind.
Aburage, maybe.
Maybe.
Don't know. I'm not sure.
I'd recognise it if I saw it, but
I
love that.
Problem
stuff.
Is, I'm not the sort of person that eats tofu often, so it's one of the few cuisines in Japan where my knowledge is rather limited. but yeah, enjoy your old sushi.
I will.
So this week, someone sent me a message on Twitter aimed at you, Pete. And if you're listening to this, ladies and gentlemen, I advise you to follow us on Twitter because it's one of the few places Pete and I can interact pretty much instantly, and it's quite good. So go on Twitter. But a guy called John Morley, who listens to the podcast, sent a tweet basically revealing the story of Japan's hunt for long-lost ghost wolves, which sounds a lot more exciting than it is. Basically, 100 years ago, wolves went extinct in Japan, or believed to be extinct. But recently, they believe that the wolves actually are in Japan somewhere or another. There's lots of people think they might be in Chichibu Tamakai National Park, which is actually just near Mount Fuji. But John Morley on Twitter said that we should go and make a video going in search of the Japanese wolf. Do it.
I can't believe
it.
So they were apparently just not there. And then I guess there's been sightings or something?
Yeah, some guy, I think a chap sighted one in 1996. He was driving his car down the road. And he just saw one walking down the side of the road. So he pulled over and took a few photos of it. And there are some photos online. It does look an awful lot like a wolf.
Yeah.
Or admittedly, a rather friendly-looking wolf. Not that I'd want to come face-to-face with it. But he pulled down the window and offered the wolf a cracker. But the wolf just sort of ignored it and walked off. And that was the last, I think, they saw of it. But every few years, they do hear it howling in the distance. And I think just a year ago, some investigators set up a camera in one of the forests, and they saw some deer running past the camera, which wasn't overly exciting at first. But if you listen to the video and it's online, you can actually hear the wolf howling in the distance. So it's out there somewhere, just waiting
just
to be found
wolf.
By you, Mr. Donaldson, on your next trip.
How would you attract a wolf?
I'll be damned if I know. Bait it with yakitori chicken.
Just bait it.
bananas and yakitori chicken. I think I would tie you to a tree, cover you in coolish and yakitori, and then make a wolf sound like or whatever the hell wolves sound like, and then just hide up a tree with a camera and see what happens next.
I don't think that.
And then you'll get
like
destroyed by a bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would be equally entertaining.
That is way more likely.
But think of the views, Pete. Think of the views.
Think of the views.
The next video on your YouTube channel. yeah, it can be quite fun to go and look into it. Maybe not me alone, just walking through the forest, but
you
I could like interview people doing it. Yeah, armed with a stick. I could interview people that are actually on the trail of it, and that could be a fun little documentary. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, there must be people who kind of go out into the park trying to find these wolves, because I'm surprised they've just not been seen, though. I mean, it's not a big country, is it?
Well, most of Japan is actually forests and mountains, though, and, you know, a lot of it's inaccessible. And the even though the Chichibu Tamakai National Park is sandwiched between Mount Fuji and Saitama and Nagano, it's still a huge area with no roads going through a lot of it. So it's easy to see how an animal could like hide away there. But yeah.
Very interesting.
Let's do it.
Spooky.
Potential topic to cover in a documentary. I'm at the point now where I'm kind of working out what projects to do next year.
Yeah.
And yeah, could be one to do.
Yeah, wolf
could
hunting one to go definitely, for. Should definitely be on the list. Very exciting.
Wolf hunting. It's the, something I never knew I wanted to do. But this week's been a big week. Why has it been a big week, Pete? What's been going down in Japan?
A emperor was enthroned. A new emperor has appeared, like Pokemon.
That's correct. Emperor Naruhito, the ultimate Pokemon. Yeah, the new emperor's been enthroned this Tuesday. Or last Tuesday, or a few Tuesdays ago, in front of 2,000 guests, including Prince Charles. Yeah. It's a big deal in Japan, because when the emperor gets enthroned, not only is it a new emperor, but also lots of people get pardoned for their crimes. Ooh. And this year, 500,000 people found guilty of petty crimes, such as traffic violations and, I think, theft, were pardoned. So it's pretty good, isn't it?
The system
if
works.
If you're a petty thief, bonus.
Imagine if you're a policeman who like worked really hard on a case and then just the emperor, just by virtue of the fact the emperor has ascended to his throne, he just went, nah, get rid of that.
That'll be a really good. That'll be a really good premise for a film, actually. A really bitter police officer who's had his entire case ripped away from him because of the new emperor. Actually, though, this year it was 500,000 people. Which is quite a lot. And yet, in 1989, when the current emperor, his grandfather, Emperor Hirohito, died, more than 10 million people were pardoned.
Jeez!
10 million people! That's insane.
They must have had to have gone a little bit hardcore and got rid of people on petty violence charges, like something like worse than like traffic violations. Oh, my word.
Yeah, there must have been. Must have been really clutching at straws there to find people that committed minor crimes.
Yeah,
again, another great synopsis for a film. Interestingly, I didn't know that the current emperor, and I don't know a lot about the royal family or the emperors of Japan. It's I'm pretty much the same in Japan as I am in the UK. I don't really have much of an opinion on the royal family over in the UK either. It's just a thing that happens, whether I like it or not. And so you find a lot of younger people don't really connect with the emperor in Japan because it's just something that they can't really relate to. They're so disconnected from it in everyday life in Japan that it's not really a thing. Though lots of people are excited by it. It's definitely quite exciting. But Emperor Naruhito, he actually went to Oxford University for 2 years and did his thesis on ancient maritime transport on the River Thames. Pretty random one, isn't it? It's pretty random.
Did you see that? Oh God! It might have been the Philippines or Thailand. They a MP went to university to do her BA in something, and she got 5 or 6 lookalikes to do all of the exams for her.
What?
Which is hilarious.
How did that work?
Well, yeah, you'd think that they would be famous enough, but they got uncovered because a TV journalist ran in and grabbed one of the lookalikes and went, "You're not her."
Case closed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sure beats the Newcastle United footballer Charles Nzogbia getting his friend to take his driving test for him.
Did that work? Well, presumably not, if you know about it.
Yeah, exactly. It worked to a certain extent, and then it didn't, very much so.
It's ingenious. Do you have a lookalike that you could potentially use as a stand-in for various events?
Probably Succession. The TV show Succession is on at the moment, and the brother of Macaulay Culkin kind of looks like me in that he's got a little Weasley voice and a little Weasley face and a little body.
Brilliant.
So basically.
I don't know who I could possibly use. People say I look like Robert Downey Jr. and Elon Musk and Jack Black. Who's the one from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Jack Sparrow. God, that's what I haven't had enough coffee. Not enough cold brew coffee.
Somebody
I can't remember
out,
the name of Jack Sparrow.
Somebody pointed out in one of your videos, I can't remember which one it was, that your beard has the configuration of the Triforce. I spotted on Reddit. Very enjoyable.
I don't know how people find these things out. Honestly, I don't. But if you are, ladies and gentlemen, if any of you are in Japan in November, they've postponed the parade for the Emperor to then, because the typhoon happened a few weeks ago, obviously, yeah. Typhoon Hagibis, causing all sorts of chaos. So they actually postponed the parade, where he'll go through Tokyo in a car waving at thousands of onlookers. So if you're in Tokyo, check it out. It might be a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Is Hagibis like a Japanese name, or... I can't figure it out.
No, it's... yeah, Typhoon Hagibis. The thing that annoyed me the most about that damn typhoon a few weeks ago is just the name. So cumbersome. Mm. It's actually a Filipino rock band or pop band, I think.
Is it? That's weird.
Yeah. I went on Twitter saying, oh, watch out, ladies and gentlemen, for Typhoon Hagibis. It sounds a little bit like some disappointing Scottish dish, but actually it's a terrifying typhoon. And underneath that, loads of people wrote, Hagibis isn't a Scottish dish, it's a Filipino band. They're really famous in the Philippines. And I got berated for it, so be
why
careful.
Why are the weather people Hagibis naming things after, you know, South Asian South Asian bands?
Well, I think I'd like to give you a funny answer, but I think the real answer is the typhoon. Just it starts kind of just off the coast of the Philippines. I think it's whoever discovers it the first person to discover it gets to name it. But I might just be making that up. Don't know. Something to look into. Mm. Must be a lot of fun though. Naming a storm, that's a job I want.
Yeah, Storm Chris. Kurisu.
Storm Chris.
Storm Cold Brew.
I'd like to think Storm Cold Brew, but pronounced Korodobru Coffee.
Korodobru.
Storm Cold Brew. I'd like to think I have more of an imagination than that when it comes to naming storms. But I don't.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Anyway, what have we got in the fax machine this week, Mr. Donaldson? What have we got?
We got an email from... Who have we got here? Hang fire. Let me just scroll up. Here we go. Ali from Calgary. Hello, Ali. Hey, Chris and Pete, my husband Andy and I have been watching Braun Japan Channel for around 5 years now and listening to the podcast since day one. We love you guys. We're about to leave for a 2.5-week trip to Japan. The last time we went, I had a lot of trouble with social anxiety. I was always worried that I was in other people's way, that I wasn't acting properly in public, or that I stood out too much and people were staring at me because I'd done something wrong. By the end of our trip, I'd pretty much barricaded myself in our Airbnb and refused to come out except in the late evenings. I've always felt regretted letting my anxiety get the better of me and worry about wrecking our trip this time. Chris, I know you struggle with some social anxiety, and I just wanted to know if you have any advice for people travelling to Japan who are worried about bothering locals by being there. Of course, everyone is different, but does it seem like the Japanese people in general find tourists annoying? Thanks for your hard work on the podcast and your videos. That's Ali from Calgary.
Interesting. Can you relate to that? Have you ever had any? I don't imagine you do. You don't seem like the person that would have that.
No, I think I'm always very aware of. I don't think anyone's looking at me, but I think if you can just get out, I just try my best to just stay out of people's way and make sure. But to be honest, I do that anyway because I live in London. And it's really busy anyway, and you know, you've got to be a responsible commuter, for example. You can't just be walking around with a big bag when people are just trying to get on the train and off the train. So I am pretty conscientious about how I move through the world, but I do understand that other people probably have a much more extreme version of that, and I'm not belittling that. But I'm quite aware and quite conscious, and certainly when I'm in Japan, I'm just constantly worried that my friends are being dicks, which they invariably are.
Yeah, the old noisy friend problem. Yeah, I've definitely had that on a train where I've had a friend talking too loud, and, you know, Japanese trains, you do feel a sense of guilt if you talk too loudly, because everyone just looks so depressed after a long day at work, packed into a train, just want a bit of peace and quiet. Yeah, Ali's right, it did affect me. I think I must have talked about it in the past at some point. Certainly in my first and second year, it got to me a fair bit because I didn't know much about the etiquette in Japan. I had to kind of play it out and see what it was like. But the problem is, anxiety kind of, it festers away. It grows like a tumour unless you stop it dead in its tracks. And I was worrying about things that just weren't happening. You know, I think when you've got social anxiety like that, you're worrying about things that just aren't happening most of the time, like bothering the locals. As long as you're not being really loud and annoying, and I'm sure you weren't, Ali, I'm sure you weren't, then you've really got nothing to worry about. I've never had a situation where anyone in Japan has lost their temper at me for doing anything, really. The only time someone got pissed at me was when I was walking down the street, I was in a hurry, and it was raining, and my umbrella bumped into another man's umbrella. And he said sort of like, "What are you doing? Watch out!" And I just sort of, I think I just swore at him because it was a bit rude of him to shout like that. I didn't deliberately go to attack his umbrella. No. It wasn't a carefully calculated attack. It was just me in a hurry. So I sort of apologised and walked on. But other than that, nothing has ever happened. Nah. And the problem with anxiety, it's just like worrying about things that don't happen 99% of the time. So just try and stop it dead in its tracks. Nothing will happen. And if something does happen, then, well, it'll be a good story. And that was the kind of way I looked at it, right? If in the incredibly rare event that anything does go wrong, at least, though it might be a bit awkward at the exact moment it happens, at least in the future you've got a story to tell people or an experience to draw from. And once you start looking at life from that perspective, that everything's just an experience to learn from, then, you stop worrying about bad things happening and kind of embrace them a little bit.
Surely.
Does that make sense?
Definitely. Completely agree.
Definitely.
Fine advice.
Cool. All right, there you go. That's my philosophical thought on that. But yeah, don't let it get to you next time, Ali. Next one's from The Craving Dane. Doesn't specify if he's from Denmark, but let's go on that assumption. Hello, Pete and Chris. Me and my friend went on holiday to Japan this past summer. It was lovely and all, but we got a problem. See, we both got addicted to Boss Coffee, and now we have this big problem that it seems impossible to find it in the West to a price you can actually afford to pay. Do you two know any cheap way for a couple of Danes, there we go, they are from Denmark, to get our hands on the sweet, sweet nectar without having to spend the entire bank on it? Big fan of both the podcast and the videos. Best regards, The Craving Dane. I guess the name makes a lot more sense now we've read the context. Yes, I'm amazed. As someone who, you know, just admitted for the half the podcast that I drink a lot of coffee and I enjoy a lot of coffee, I can tell you right now that Boss Coffee is not particularly good. It's not something you want to get addicted to. is it? Have you, you've had it, haven't you, Pete?
I've had every blooming flavour of it on the way out in the evening. When I'm on holiday, I should drink more coffee because I always feel just dreadful all of the time. If I could just have, if I could just have a month in Japan, I reckon I'd around about the second week I'd start to kind of feel more like a human being. But yeah, I should drink more coffee because coffee does make everything a little bit better. And it certainly keeps you regular. But if you want to recreate the magic of Boss Coffee, just get a load of cheap granulated coffee, put it in a cup, and add 15 sugars, and you'll be golden, I think.
Genuinely, that is. I think you've summed up better than words ever. I think you've summed up perfectly. The Boss Coffee, it just tastes like sugar in a can. You barely even taste of coffee. It's disgusting. But what it does do, it does give you quite a big kick because of all the caffeine and the sugar.
Yeah.
It's like a double whammy. So often, when I go out filming with Ryotaro in the morning, like with the Tsukiji Fish Market, I often buy a few cans of Boss Coffee and down it, and it wakes me up pretty quickly before the inevitable crash. But I think, when you come to Japan next time, Pete, as well as going out finding wolves in the forest, Boss Coffee in hand, we should take you for some cold brew coffee and see if you can pronounce it. Can you pronounce cold brew coffee right here, right now, buru. In Japanese?
Kurodo buru kohi or noimasu. Noimasho.
Oh, God. I want to see that unravel. I want to see someone at the desk, someone at like Starbucks, try and understand what it is you're saying. Brilliant.
What are you gonna do?
Ben, what we got from Ben?
Ben says, Chris and Pete, thank you for helping making my first trip to Japan that little bit extra. From my first coolish trademark to seeking out that Noto beef stall in Omicho Market in Kanazawa, the podcast and YouTube videos gave me insight that added an extra layer to my trip. However, a question. What the hell do people do with 1 and 5 yen coins in Japan who actually live there? I was only in Japan for 2 weeks and I was given thousands of other things, and now we have a bag of them in the UK. No vending machine would accept them, and the idea of counting them out in a konbini to buy a sad late night onigiri was too much. Please explain what people who actually live in Japan do with 1 and 5 yen coins. Thank you, Ben. Yeah, it's a problem.
It is definitely a problem. When I, my first 3 years living in Yamagata, the previous person that lived in the apartment, he just left loads of tins filled with coins, hundreds of, must have been thousands of coins that have just built up over the years. And then I went and got my own jar and I stuffed that and filled that up over another 3 year period. And when it came to moving out of the apartment, I had to do like 3 runs to the bank. And I basically, they do have this machine where you just pour the coins in and they give you cash. And there was, I think there was 300, there was 30,000 yen worth of coins.
Good Lord.
So it was a nice little bonus.
Yeah, but you've got to carry it. Other than that,
yeah, exactly. But other than that, bloody annoying. I don't know what they do with the coins. I honestly, to this day, I still don't know.
Well, the 1 yen
coin.
They drive
me absolutely mad.
The 1 yen coin, look, it feels like it's made of zinc or something like that. It's odd nickel or something. It's really light coin that's not. You only ever see them being used in those, people put them in those little boxes at convenience stores or at shops where you can sort of, if you need a couple of pennies, you can take it. Or if you want to get rid of a couple of pennies, you put them in there. But the 5 yen coins, you can put them into onto a Passmo card, can't you? Or a Suica.
Yeah, I think you can actually use 5 yen coins to, like, buy things in vending machines. Yeah, 1 yen coin's the useless one.
Yeah.
And they feel like toys, as you said. Like, they're really light and weird. Like, if you pick up a 1 yen coin, it feels like a children's toy.
So light.
And I can't stand them. So useless. But going back to Ben's first bit of the question, he mentioned Noto beef. Isn't that a weird name of beef?
Beef?
I remember I first had it in Kanazawa Market. It's spelt Noto. Noto beef. So I remember when I was ordering it, I just felt really awkward because I was like, yeah, Noto beef.
Sounds
not
like
beef.
One of those, meat substitutes, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Noto beef.
Noto
beef, mate. We got one from Angela who says, hello, Chris and Pete, long time listener but first time writer to the fax machine. I've been living in Tokyo for 2 months now and I've just 11 months left before I return to my home country of Australia. However, I've been incredibly homesick since arriving. I've lived overseas before, but that was in the UK. I was wondering if you experienced this when you first moved to Japan. If you did, what did you do to combat it?
P.S. on a completely unrelated note, the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games will be using a snow machine at the canoe sprint venue to combat the heat. I work on the organising committee and got to see it, although it spit out more ice than snow, from Angela.
Cool.
Wow, that's interesting. The Olympic Games, it's going to be so damn hot. It could be like 40 degrees Celsius. Mm. So the idea of using a snow machine, it's not a bad idea. You should just use that for everything. I want one. Awful. Homesickness is a tough one. I think, what did I do? I was a little bit homesick, but not that much, because I'd waited all my life to like live overseas, so that kind of countered it. And I felt like I was in a film, which just was quite exciting. But every now and then I'd be in the apartment and I'd have this kind of moment of existential crisis, like, what am I doing in this apartment in rural Japan sitting alone? What's going on? While all my friends and family are the other side of the world. I'd say it's really important then to just spend time with friends in Japan, try and build up a network of friends nearby.
Yeah, keep yourself busy.
Yeah, keep yourself busy. In my first year, I had quite a few other foreigners around that I did spend quite a lot of time with. I didn't have any Japanese friends at first, but it wasn't until I did make Japanese friends, like Natsuki, in my second year, that I really did feel like it became my home. I kind of stopped feeling like a tourist. But I remember I used to just, when I was going to sleep at night, I would just put on my TV or a laptop, just playing British sitcom. Like, I remember watching something like Only Fools and Horses or Blackadder, had that on in the background. And that kind of, I don't know, that kind of helped. So that's my advice. And I still do it now often. I have like something on in the background while I'm working, and it just keeps me sane, I guess. I think I just don't like silences, awkward silences, sitting alone in an apartment. But yeah, hopefully that helps, Angela. Best of luck with that, and well done. Sounds like a pretty fun job, working on the Olympics, right?
Yeah, damn right.
Exciting.
I mean, it's going to be such a big thing. I guess they will have learnt a lot of lessons from the rugby as well.
Are you going to come over for the Olympics at all? Do you have any plans for that?
I've got no plans. I think it's because the football Euros are on.
Going to wait and see.
The football Euros are on. So you'd be in a situation where you kind of want to avoid... I would want to avoid the Olympics, to be honest, because it'll be crazy. But
yeah.
I'll try and squeeze in a thing at the end of the season. I reckon I should be over. I just want to just travel the world and not worry about work. But, work's work, innit?
Work is work.
Work
and
is work.
And at least your
work.
Trips to Japan are tax deductible now.
Yes. Damn straight. Business
the benefits meeting of the podcast.
With Chris.
It's the real reason he does the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. keep the comments, questions, stories coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do an episode on hidden spots in Tokyo and beyond. I say hidden spots. People often ask me for secret hidden spots and places that most tourist guides don't usually talk about. So we're going to cover that. I'm going to throw in my ideas. Pete's going to bring his to the table. And I'll probably go on Twitter and ask people as well. So keep an ear out for that. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.